Welcome to Season 3, Episode 37 of Last Save Loaded. Good day, good evening, good morning, whatever time you're listening to this beautiful podcast. I am your host this week, Colm Sheridan, and joining me, better late than ever, is Justin, I'm never on time, Smith. Good evening, Justin, how are you?
Good evening, Colin. I'm freshly home, having rushed back from Ruth's mum. Ruth did say, "Oh well, you know, you don't have to come." I'm like, "No, I'll come." But no, we managed to get home just in time for why the hell is Twitter now trying to tell me it wants me to sign into Pro? I don't want to use Pro.
Oh dear! Oh dear! Worst thing that ever happened to Twitter was Elon Musk. There you go.
Yeah, now it's going. No, the reason I'm opening it again is because I can see Tim Paulin has all just replied. Right. So I'm trying to log in.
Hold on. I'll have a look.
But yeah, as soon as I click Twitter, it's coming up with Get Pro. No.
Yeah, I got it.
To be any option for doing it.
Where is he? There we go.
Ah, that's right. I managed change. Yeah, okay.
That's lovely.
There we go. So, yes, we've been to Ruth's mum for the afternoon and rushed back in the nice strong winds we're getting, although having just seen a map with the weather warnings, we're not in the area where it's considered like stay in, don't leave the house, so that's something.
That's a positive.
Yes, but it's been an interesting day. Lots going on today. We started off by going to a birthday party for a pair of 7-year-olds. By that, I mean Ruth's daughter went to the party and we just sat and chatted to the parents and then ate some cake afterwards. We went swimming with Ruth's daughter because we are trying to get her more confidence to jump into the pool. But we got to the pool, we paid our money, we got in, and then there were signs up everywhere saying no jumping. We're like, that's kind of the one thing we've come here for, so I guess we'll just have a swim for a bit. And then we got out and went off for afternoon tea and dinner. Yeah, that's what we've been up to today. But as far as more recent things other than that, last week I was working longer days, so I started work at 8 in the morning and I was only having a half hour lunch, still finishing at 5, which I know for me is a bit excessive, but that's because the week before Ruth's daughter had to take a day off school because she had raging tonsillitis, and I said, they've told me I could take the morning off and you come home in the afternoon. So when I then said to my HR department, what do I do about time off for children? I just got told, you can make the time up or you can take it off unpaid. So I was like, well, if it's 3 hours, I can just do, half an hour extra each day. That's 2.5 hours across the week anyway, and I've made that up. If I do shorter lunches, I've easily covered that. And that was the plan until on Thursday, maybe Wednesday, but I think Thursday, we got an email around at 3 o'clock saying, okay, I need everyone out of the system so I can shut down the finances for the month. And I was like, well, if I've got to be out of the system, there's nothing I can do. So I guess I'm having another 2 hours off.
Hmm.
So I did. And yeah, I'm trying to now make that time up. So I'm going to be having a bit longer of my working hours next week. But it adds up. The only other thing of late that's been happening, on Saturday, I had 2 games of Blood Bowl in my league back to back, and I lost them both. So we're waiting for the end of next week to see if I make it out of the division as first or second. Probably second, because it would be second at best. I might get a wild card as best place third overall. But it could be my Friday night, Thursday night league could be over. So it's out of my hands. It's in the fate of others. And speaking of Blood Bowl, I have been selected for the Northern Ireland team to go to the Home Nations Championship in June. So I'm now, having reached the top 10 for the country, I've now been selected to play for them.
Just a quick question, a silly question maybe. You don't live in Northern Ireland anymore.
Yeah.
So why are you representing Northern Ireland?
Because the event is in Loughborough in the Midlands in England, and they went, oh, you don't have to fly, do you? I went, no. And they went, cool, do you want to go?
Okay.
So,
are you a member of the Northern Ireland Blood Bowl team still?
Well, it's the Blood Bowl community as such, but when they started it on Discord, they posted up saying, you know, this is for, we're trying to raise awareness of Blood Bowl in Northern Ireland. And I posted up going, what about people who were born there and haven't lived there since they were like one and a half? And they went, yeah, still counts, crack on. And so they then saw that I'd won a tournament or, won some trophies. And they went, yeah, okay, you know what you're talking about. We'll add you onto the scene. And, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I got a message going, do you want to be on the team? So
how far away is this place that you're going to?
Loughborough, it's about an hour further north to Birmingham, so 3.5, 4 hours.
When is this happening?
End of June.
Something to look forward to, I'm sure.
Yes, well, speaking of things to look forward to, Ruth is in the processes of getting a passport renewed for her daughter for potential trips to places of interest, and we're looking at... Excuse me, my mouse has decided to stop working. Stops again, I shall switch to a different one. What did we say? We're looking at something like the 12th to the 14th of February. All things considered. Just putting it out there.
Smashing.
We shall keep you posted, yes, but all being well, in about 3 weeks we shall be in the Emerald Isle.
Smashing.
And you can take Ruth for a Guinness. Obviously, you'll be sat with me on the non-drinking table. Are you about to
maybe
confess? was that rule not as hard and fast as you thought?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay, well, as they said on Monty Python, say no more, say no more.
Exactly.
You're nothing if you're not consistent with going back.
Exactly.
So, so I should probably ask what's
been
going on.
Well, I finished my programming. Yay! Got 78% overall in my programming. And then nearly finished the end of my work experience course, so I basically had to do a write-up on the college I'm attending, the organisation, And I sent him a first draft last week, you know, first draft being, you know, expecting feedback. And he went, that's fabulous. And I suspect he didn't read it properly. But anyway, I'm starting virtualization on Tuesday. And hopefully. And I've got work experience to finish up tomorrow. Well, I have to make a presentation next week, but he seems to be of the mindset that I need a rehearsal. And I've done many presentations in my time, as well as co-hosting a podcast, so I can speak up.
You've got lots of experience of not necessarily public speaking, but hearing your own voice.
And that's all that matters. So, yeah. So,
yes.
I have, nothing else to report, really. I'm sort of on TikTok at the moment to help support Rachel and her business by looking at her live streams.
have you managed to persevere with it for more than about 3 minutes, which is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's
before.
Just, yeah, I posted one or two pictures up of, you know, me dead on a table, my head down on the table, and just a caption, you know, when your grandchild visits you, you know, and I got 800 views for that one. So yeah, I'm a Twitch sensation now. No, not a Twitch. No, that's the other thing. TikTok, whatever the. So TikTok, anyway,
celeb.
So yeah, so other than that, no, I have not been up to much, and yeah, it's just a bit stormy here today. So yeah. I'm expecting an email from the college to say don't come in tomorrow because the college will be open or something like that. But who knows what'll happen. I mean, I'm not going in full time to college anyway at the moment because I'm still waiting for my virtualization to start. So I've basically finished my work experience course apart from one presentation I have to make, and I've finished my programming. So the only subject I have left to do is virtualization, which is going to start hopefully on Tuesday. He did send a link to a paid LinkedIn a course, and we used to have LinkedIn through the college, but we don't have it anymore. And I just replied to him and said, this is a paid course. Surely, you know, you'd have your own coursework. And apparently he doesn't. So it was a free trial. And I said, I'm not signing up for the free trial because I'll forget about it and I'll get charged. So, you know. Give me something else. I said, have you heard of YouTube? You know? So that's that. So, anything else to report, Justin?
Not for me, no. It's back to work. New year, new us. Same old us. Yeah.
Yeah, the usual. So I think I'll do player Metacritic score right now. Even though I have it down further down, I think it'd be a good warm up session. And
yeah,
I spent a lot of time in doing this. I didn't leave everything to the last minute like Justin does. And so I'm hoping to surprise Justin with a few hiccups along the way. It's time for player Metacritic score, right? Welcome, and this is another riveting episode of Player Metacritic Score. Player Metacritic Score, right? I am your host, Colm Sheridan, and in the hot seat is the hot-legged Justin Smith. Good evening, Justin. How are you this fine evening? No, this is not starting the podcast all over again. This is just me doing the hosting bit.
Good evening.
So, let's just... Yes, give you and you want to name any of your friends in there?
Nice to see everyone here.
Say hello to your friends while you're on this famous show.
I'm I'd like to give a shout Smashing. Out to Trillion 83, wonderful person. Give good a shout lad. Out to Mr. Carl Palmer, Mr. Tim Paulin.
Good. Mr. Okay.
Knowles.
Zip it.
They've been friends okay. for a long time.
So, let me just yeah. get the. Oh my God, it's in the way. Just get the Skype thing in out of the way there. Okay, so we're the first game on the list. Just it's good. What's your starter for 10? Give me a beeble.
Yes.
Guitar Hero Metallica. Metacritic score 84. Okay. These are all PS3 games, by the way.
Okay.
Plants vs. Okay. Zombies. Now, this is the original Plants right. vs. Zombies, not the garbage Garden Warfare one. Is it higher or lower than 84?
Okay.
Excuse me, just let me finish, will you please?
It's going to be higher.
How do you know? Are you reading my sheet or something? I haven't put it on the server. It is very good. Well, very good, Justin.
No,
one
Guitar
for
Hero
you.
Metallica didn't sell that well.
One for Justin. I'm keeping score now. Okay. Well done, Justin. Plants vs. Zombies, 87 Metacritic. Okay. So wow. the next one on the Close. List is Tekken 6. Is that higher or lower than 87?
Now, Tekken 6, I don't remember hearing much about. I remember seeing it in the arcades. Mm-hmm. I don't ever remember seeing the home version. And I think, to be fair, I think the only one I did see was on the PSP, not even the PS3. So I'm going to say lower. Cost.
Very good, Justin. Very good. 79%. Not bad. Not bad. No, come on. In fairness, very good, Justin.
Now, we're fickle gamers. Anything over under 85% is a failure.
Yeah, true. Yeah, yeah. So I'm a failure in my program because I only got 78%. But anyway, so next one. Next up. South Park, The Stick of Truth. Is that higher or lower than 79%?
Now, this is a tricky one because I played the game on PS3 and I was less of a fan than some people. I know your son, I know he enjoyed it.
Hmm.
I know he didn't play the PlayStation version, you know, because he wouldn't be seen dead with a PlayStation. Ruth's daughter, actually, she came out the other day. She said, I prefer the Xbox. I think the controller's better. And it's like, well, you've got little hands. He hasn't. He's a 6 foot plus lanky boy. I will say that because Tekken 6 was so bad, I will say this is higher.
Very good, Justin. Very good. 85%. Which I'm surprised.
Right on the borderline for whether it's worth playing or
yeah.
not.
Yeah. I was actually surprised at that, to be honest with you. Okay. So the next one up on the list is PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Another one that was released on multiple platforms. I have it.
Well, when you say multiple platforms, it was the Sony exclusives.
Yeah, but it was released on the Vita and the PS3. I think it was originally supposed to be cross-play and cross-trophies and things like that. But the two versions played ever so slightly different. Mm. And having played it, it's not great.
No.
It's definitely not got a touch on Smash Bros. So I'm going to say lower.
Very good, Justin. You're just running away with this one here now. I'm a bit disappointed in myself, but there you go. Anyway, okay, so next one is up. It's not very well known. 74%.
Ah, yes, it's not a great game.
No.
It feels very soulless as well.
I mean, I think if it had have taken off, they would have went with this a bit more, but typical Sony, they try something, it doesn't work, and they don't try it again. Okay, so the next game up is it's more of a PC port, I'd say. Risen Tree, Titan Lords. Is that higher or lower than 74?
Now, I don't remember ever even hearing of this game.
Oh, it's on the PlayStation. I have it.
But that doesn't mean it's not good.
Hmm.
It's quite possible it's a lot better than 74%.
Mm-hmm.
And 74 is quite low for a game that had reached enough popular knowledge for everyone to know about it. So I'm going to say higher. I think it would have been a potentially overlooked gem.
65%, Justin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think the PC port wasn't good. It wasn't good. It just didn't port over very well, considering it's a mouse and keyboard game. Bless you. Considering it's a mouse and keyboard, I think just the port didn't go down too well. So, right, 65%. Yeah. Okay.
Ouch.
Now, this is one of your all-time favourites, Justin. Click up. Journey. Is it higher than 65%?
That's going to be higher. I don't need to even begin to second guess that one. I reckon that is higher, and it's probably been given ratings in the 90s, Colin.
49%, Justin.
For Journey?
No, money messing, 92.
I was going to say, I don't think I'm submitting that review score.
92%. Well done, Justin. Okay, so you're going well, going well. Okay, possibly one of your favourite franchises of all time, apart from Persona.
Journey?
No, not Journey. The next game on the list, Mass Effect 3. Is it higher or lower than 92%? 92% is good old punchbag.
92% is good, and Mass Effect 3 is not as good as Mass Effect 2. It's going to be reviewed lower.
Ooh, wrong again. I like to say that word, wrong again. It's 93%, Justin.
That's impressive.
It is, considering there was all that given out over the ending and stuff like that when it initially came out. 93%.
Well, maybe this review has been after they kind of did the renewed ending.
Yeah. Okay, we've got an easy one for you now, Justin. Duke Nukem Forever, is it higher or lower than 93%? This was the game that everybody was waiting for over 20 years nearly. And by God, it didn't go down well.
No, and I don't need that hint spoiler from you to know that it is probably lower than anything you've said so far. So, lower.
You would be correct, Justin. 49%. 49%, which is pretty diabolical considering. But, you know, we've played games 49% before. Let's not forget Ride to Hell.
Well, that was 1%.
Oh, yeah, that was 1%, yeah. Okay, so next game up is one of your favourite TV franchises anyway, I'd say. Star Trek the video game. Now, this came out on PS3, remember this?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was a tie-in for the movie, wasn't it?
It was a tie-in for the movie, despite the fact that it doesn't follow the plot from the movie.
No.
And has completely different enemies, it has a Gorn in it. I think what it did have was the likeness rights of Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine. But
is it higher or lower than 49%, do you think?
It's a bad game. Yeah. It's acknowledged to be a bad game. It's acknowledged to be worse than that. It's acknowledged to be a terrible game. Mm. But I think it's got to be better than Duke Nukem, so higher.
Sorry, Justin. It's lower. 42%. Oh, I'm impressed with myself now. I'm starting to feel miserable, deflated. Okay. Next game up is my favourite franchise of all time. Uncharted 2 Among Thieves. Is it higher or lower than 42%?
That's going to be higher. Uncharted 2 was arguably the best reviewed of the entire series.
96.
Yeah.
Well done, Justin.
There you go.
Last one. Grand Theft Auto 4.
Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yes, Theft, yes. Auto 4, not 5. Is it higher or lower than 96% on the PlayStation 3?
You said the PlayStation, which means it doesn't have the Ballad of Gay Tony, and it doesn't have whatever was the other one, the Lost and the Damned, because they were released separately as part of the episodes from Liberty City. So
yeah, but you could still get GTA. You could still get the Game of the Year edition, I think, can you?
I don't know. Possibly. But I know I played it. I know there are people that love it. But it's never going to be ranked as high as Uncharted 2, so lower.
And you know, this shocked me, Justin. It's actually the highest rated PS3 game on Metacritic, 98%. I couldn't believe it myself. It's actually one ahead of Grand Theft Auto 5. Now, I was going to put Grand Theft Auto 5 in there, because I said, I'll put in Grand Theft Auto 4. It's 98%. It's the highest ranked game on Metacritic. Now, I know Justin's typing that in now and checking because he doesn't believe me. So,
no, I'm one, just going to say three, that is four, quite... Five, quite
six. You got 7 out of 11.
Thank you.
Well done, Justin.
Would it be 7 out of 10? Because the first one would have been...
No, I actually put 10 in plus the first one. So, actually, yeah. It should be...
Yeah,
but I've got 4 wrongs there.
Oh, well,
then
I got 6 right.
2, 3, 4. Oh, I put 12 in altogether, sorry.
Counting is hard.
Well, I didn't want it to be too short and I didn't want it to be too long, so I thought, you know, stick an extra one in there. When I seen Grand Theft Auto 4, I said, that'll catch him off guard.
Yeah.
So, well done, Justin. You.
Thank you, Colin, and I hope anyone playing along at home scored better than me.
Well, I mean, that's not a bad score, Justin. 7 out of 12.
Well, it's not as good as it should be.
Well,
but you picked some crap.
I did, didn't I? I start off nice and easy, and then get a bit rough around the edges towards the end. But anyway, thank you very much, Justin. That was fun as always. Let's get back into the main course of the podcast, and is what was your last save loaded in the chronological order, Justin?
Thank you, Colin. The last save loaded in the chronological order was Hard Space Shipbreaker.
Okay, so this is this weird game.
This is the new game that's just come out. It's been released on PlayStation Plus Extra catalog level, and well, the concept is you're a person who has gone to work for a company that gets old spaceships and cuts them up for scrap.
Yeah.
And so you get a little space pack with jetpack and laser and a little tether to latch onto things and like pull them around in space. And then you have a spaceship put in front of you. As you start your working day, and you're supposed to go down, find all the weld points, for want of a better phrase,
yeah,
burn them open with your laser so that the panels come off, and then you grab the panels, and if they're like raw material metals, you'll send them into a furnace. If they're recyclable things like the seats, then you'll send them to a barge to be sold. And if they're just other things like glass and whatnot, then you send them to a composite chemical recycling plant.
Okay.
There may be more as I go further into the game, but it has a lot of feelings of a similar game that you've played with me, Colin, that I'll mention in a little while. And I could see myself playing this quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to manage your oxygen, so every now and then you have to keep going back to your little habitat ring to top up on oxygen. Although if you find a gas canister in the ship while you're cutting it up, you can use that and top it up yourself without having to pay for it. But as far as the story goes, they basically say that you've signed up to work for this company, and by doing so, you suddenly find yourself, you know, $3 billion in debt with them.
Right.
And you have to work it all off over time.
Yeah.
And if you happen to die, then the debt will be passed on to your next of kin and things like
this. Okay.
But when I say if you happen to die, that's a bit of a misleading comment, because the first thing they do when you sign the contract is sign over your not just your likeness rights, but the rights to your genetic DNA.
Okay.
So when you sign it, they say thank you very much, and they kill you. And then they make a clone of you, and they call it the spare. And they basically say, if the spare dies, you'll be fined for damage to the spare, and we'll make another spare. And that second spare will have everything that you had. So they that's how they get rid of the concept of like infinite lives. Is every time you die, it just adds onto your bill, and means that it's going to take longer to pay off your bill.
Okay, so can you upgrade your gear?
You can. So I've just got to. I finished scrapping 3 ships, I think now, and I've got up to high enough level where they've said, yeah, when I turn it on next time, I can go to an upgrade bay and start looking at upgrading my equipment.
Hmm.
So I don't know in what capacity you could do it, but I would imagine you can get a like more powerful laser so you can cut through more dense material, or you can get a stronger leash to rip panels off the wall.
Right.
But if you, for example, just rip a whole panel off and send it to the furnace, it might give you the points for the panel, but then dock you points because it'll say there was a light fitting on that you didn't take off, so you've lost the company money.
Wow.
Yeah, so you're supposed to basically strip it clean and send all the different bits into different drop points, effectively. And it's not multiplayer, it's entirely solo from what I can see, and just is the sort of thing you can sit and not have to think too much about.
Mm. I think I played this on Game Pass for about 10 minutes and got bored of it, so yeah, this would be up your street, Justin.
It definitely is the sort of thing that people would get bored of, but other people will go, no, I'm on board with this, it's fantastic. It's from a certain point of view, it's a puzzle game, because you're like trying to make as much revenue out of the ships as you can without destroying too much of it. Because if you, rather than go and trying to break open the connection points on the main frame, if you just take your cutting tool out and just basically carve off a section of the hull and take that away, it will fine you for damaging the whole section.
Right. So you've just stripped the whole, you know, strip it down to the main frame of the ship then, have you?
Yeah, and then you've also got to recycle the main frame into the furnace as well.
Right.
But initially, some of those bits are too big for you to move.
Yeah.
So you then have to cut that, which they then fine you for cutting it, but they'll fine you more for abandoning the frame.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's the last game I played. And prior to that, last night, Ruth and I were playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Nice.
Now, we've had to change our playing of Baldur's Gate 3 because we were playing side by side on the same TV with the game utilising its co-op mode on local co-op.
Yeah.
And it does it split screen, lets you do whatever you want. But every time you log in on the second player, it starts trying to give you all the tutorial details again. It's like, come on, disable them now, really. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But more importantly, now that we got to Act 2, the game started crashing. And there's been no sign that the patches have been released to stop that crashing. So one day I said, well, why don't I try logging in off the other console and just join you as a normal multiplayer session rather than a local co-op.
Yeah.
And in doing so, after she fiddled about a bit to like sort out the settings for who can control what character, it let her in and she could assign me the character I'd designed. And we actually got better connectivity doing that than we did side by side.
Yeah.
Because it would like not give me the option to form a party with other players of the group.
Yeah.
But it does if we're playing online.
All right.
And so the bugs that we were having, like, you know, the game crashing on dialogue options and things like that, seem to have mostly gone, and we've had a largely bug-free session since then. There was one incident, though, where we triggered a cutscene where this town is going to get attacked.
Yeah.
And a little girl gets taken away. When we finish the fight, Ruth's character appears to be screaming as the little girl, constantly saying, "Help me, get me out of here." So we're playing for a good hour with her character constantly going, "Get me out of here, help me, help me." I think we then saved, we came back, we tried on another day, and since she loaded up, it's still going, "Help me." I don't know if it's stopped now. I think it might have done, but that was annoying.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yes. The other game I've played was Power Wash Simulator, which Mr. Collie joined Ruth and I last week for cleaning a locomotive after we worked out we couldn't both help you on your main story,
Yeah.
your main campaign. So we found something we could do to get you a bit of money. And yeah, Ruth and I have been playing it. She got back into it after I basically forced her to. Sorry, I didn't force her to. I heavily corrupted her and said, "Yeah, we can do it in co-op, you can help me." But in order to do the co-op, we've having to basically do it on one console and then do it on the other.
Mm.
In order that we can both progress together. So we're at the last mission of the campaign. But there's supposed to be a bug at the moment where if you finish it, it doesn't give you the trophy for finishing the story. So we basically stopped playing it. And we know that there's some trophies like for doing challenge modes, getting like 5 golds. And until we can get those, there's no point in trying to think about whether we can get the platinum on the game.
Yeah.
So we're not actively seeking out to play Power Wash Simulator at the moment.
Okay. But
we have done as much as we can do for now.
Cool.
Then I finally completed a game.
Nice.
In fact, I think you've probably completed more.
I think you've completed 2 or 3 at this stage, Justin.
Yeah, well, I completed Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Nice. And
as far as the game goes, it wants to feel like the magic of Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite. It misses that somewhat, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it has a good stab at it, and I just find some of the power-ups a bit lacking.
Has it got the Mario feel about it, like cheery, and has it got Mario 3D World feel about it?
It's more new Super Mario Bros. Wii than it is anything else. Because, like I've said before, the fact that they designed it around having 4-player on it, the camera just goes nuts when you're trying to do climbing and things like that, because it doesn't know who to focus on.
Yeah.
Or it'll focus on one, and then someone else will get ahead, and it'll jump to them, and everyone else will get killed because they're no longer on the screen or something like that. But yeah, the power-ups, they have the bubble power-up where you can fire some bubbles and then potentially jump on them. I never really found particularly useful at all. They have
You turn into an elephant, don't you?
that's the main one, the elephant ability. And you can hold water in your trunk and you can like water flowers, which potentially can give you secret vines and things, depending on where you do it. But it has some really stupid things, like it'll go, you'll go into a mission, into a level, and it will say that certain blocks are hidden unless you're playing certain characters.
Right.
So I get that it wants you to go through the different characters and try them, but it's like real bad gatekeeping if you're playing solo, because you could potentially have to load into that level like 5 times or maybe even 8 times.
Right.
It just seemed silly.
Oh, okay.
The drill power-up, it had its moments, but for the most part didn't seem fantastic. It's trying to be like the Mario Galaxy drill power-up, but doesn't really work the same. But the gimmick this one has is you can equip a badge. So the badge might be you always start the level having getting a mushroom straight away. So you're always like medium rather than small. Or you might have a badge which says if you're about to fall off the screen, like if you fall to your doom, you can have one jump back onto land.
Okay. So you pick up these badges along the way, do you?
Yeah, and then they have badge challenge levels where you'll be tasked with, like, you know, they'll have a wall climb one, which will allow you, instead of wall jumping away from the wall, the first one will jump up it.
Right.
And so it's a, you know, can give you the option to get higher up. There's a vine one, which allows you to shoot out a vine to grab onto the wall.
Yeah.
So you can use it like a hook shot.
Okay.
But then there's some really stupid ones, like there's one which turns you invisible. And you think, oh, well, that's cool, because then the enemies don't see you. Yes, the enemies don't see you.
You don't see you.
Neither do you. And when you're then trying to do platforming, and you don't know where your character is, there's a lot of attempts at, you know, trying to avoid almost certain death. It did have some interesting gimmicks, like the fact that you could go 3D world or 3D land style. You could go into the background or you could come into the foreground, in front of the main level, depending on where you, what pipes you went down.
Mm.
But do you remember in Mario Galaxy, what was the worst power-up you could get?
Dr. Genie, I can't remember now. Galaxy 1.
The Spring.
Oh, yeah.
Where Mario just had no control whatsoever. He just in random directions.
Yeah.
Well, they have badges and where you can only move by jumping. So the guy is constantly, as soon as he hits the floor, he jumps again.
Wow.
Well, again, when you've got to do precision jumping and you have no option but to jump as soon as you land, you can't sight yourself to get speed to then make the next jump. And so some of them are just stupid. So I had no intention of doing the hidden world. I found a couple of ways into it, but when I played the Super Nintendo version, I wanted to play every level.
Yeah.
In this, I played as many as I could really be bothered with. I, you know, if it was on the main world, I found it and I played it. But I didn't bother with some of the skill challenges, and I certainly didn't bother with the secret world.
Yeah.
So I've rolled the credits. The final boss fight was just stupid. You've played this game for, you know, 20 hours or whatever, maybe less, and you're thinking, okay, well, normal Mario games, I've just got to, like, jump on someone's head a few times.
Yeah.
No, not in this one. In this one, there's been a few levels toward, like, halfway on where they start going, well, if you listen to the beat of the music, like, it'll go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And if you jump on the 3, you'll get a bigger jump. Or you might get rewarded with more coins or something like that. There's even a badge that gives you extra stuff when you jump to the beat.
Yeah.
And then the final boss fight is based off that idea. And it just fell so flat to me. Other than that, I did play one more game. I've just realised, having checked my phone, I found on the classics catalogue on the PlayStation that they have Street Fighter 2, Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix, which is a game I had on the PS1, and a game that when we went to the arcade cafe here in Ipswich, I was trying to finish. So I just I think I even just streamed it rather than even downloaded it.
Right.
One playthrough, there we go, finished, done.
Nice. Excellent. So,
Colin, that's all I've been playing. What was your last save loaded?
I got stuck into this Lord of the Rings War in the North PS3 game.
Yes.
And it's on PS Plus. So I said to myself, my PS Plus runs out in February. I said, I will get stuck into this. I was quite enjoying it. It's just hack and slash Lord of the Rings. It coincides with the, you know, the Lord of the Rings movies, where, you know, the rest of the boys are going off to throw the fucking ring in the river or whatever, and you have to help them out, go up north and slay a few million monsters and orcs and whatever else.
Yeah.
So, that's grand. I'm powering through this thing. I'm up to level 20. It's not the max level by any means. I get to this, the dwarf's place. I have to defend the door. That's grand. I managed to defend the
door. Did you have to hold the door column? Did you have to hold door?
Hold door, yes. Very good.
Hold door. Hold door.
So, did that. Then I just got annihilated. I had no health potions left. I was just getting my ass handed to me. So I said, right, I'll download the last save that's up in the cloud.
The last save loaded?
Yeah. And it turns out that's 6 days old, 7 days old. So, yeah, I have back down to level 9 again. And I'm playing it again this morning. I'm just going, you know, I love the game. But, you know, I can't be bothered. I just can't do this again. It's just not fun. So I've put it on the back burner for the moment. And then, probably the biggest surprise of my life ever. And Justin would probably be even more surprised. Well, he probably wouldn't actually, because he knows the way my brain works. I stuck in Metal Gear Solid 4.
Four?
Yes.
The PS3 game?
Yes. Now.
Wow.
The only Metal Gear Solid I've ever finished is 2, Sons of Liberty, on the PS2.
Yeah.
So, I says, you know what, let's try something a bit more, less pace and a bit more, less crazy. And
you didn't find one that was less crazy there.
Well, not less crazy, but less manic. You know, more stealthy. Take your time. Blend in with the background and all this stuff. So, yeah, I didn't put that down, but I wasn't going to mention it until next week, so, or 2 weeks, 4 weeks' time or whatever. So, yeah, I'm... Lots of cutscenes. And, yeah, it's a bit nuts, all right. But, yeah, you've played this, haven't you? Obviously, yeah.
Oh yes. I remember it didn't feel particularly exciting to play. It felt a bit stupid with the fact that if you kill an enemy you can't just pick up his gun and use it because of the like coding on each gun. So you have to wait for the man to come along with his van and his monkey.
Yes, yes.
He sells you weapons.
Yes, I've met the man and his monkey. Yeah.
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 But when I finished the game, I think it was a 2.5 hour cutscene at the end.
Yeah, I don't mind.
And I remember just thinking, I just want to go to sleep. Just bloody finish.
You can't skip it either.
No. Well, you might be able to, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, didn't want to take the risk.
Yeah. And so...
I've never considered playing it again. Like all Metal Gear Solid games, there are people out there that love it. There's been people campaigning for years to try and get it re-released on modern consoles and hoping that there's going to be a new remaster and that will be on it. But...
Yeah, so remember there was a petition going around to get it... It got trophies later on at some stage. And
yeah.
They got, you know, they patched in trophies for like 5 or 6 years later or something like that. Because this game came out before the trophies was on the PS3 or whatever. Yeah, so I'll let you know how I get on. Taking bets now to see does Colin finish this game. The other game I'm playing at the moment is Pokemon Alpha Sapphire on the 3DS. I have 7 badges now. I have one more to get before I get to the...
Before you go to the Elite League and then have to do it all again.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I just find them quite relaxing, and it's the type of game you don't need to put the sound on. You can just go around leveling up, and I find the Pokemon evolve a lot quicker in this game, and it's a lot quicker to level them up as well, because you have the evolution stat on you. You don't just apply that to one Pokemon in your bag. You apply that, it applies to them all, so every time one Pokemon battles, they all get some sort of XP, so that's good. As opposed to Pokemon White, where it was only assigned to one Pokemon, which I then later sold. And yeah, anyway. And Power Wash Sim, of course. And then the game I want to talk about, Persona 5.
Yeah, I mean, what you should be saying when you start talking about this is, why are you playing Persona 5 and not Persona 5 Royal?
Because I only have Persona 5.
Okay.
And why... I thought Royal and Persona 5 was a similar game, except all the DLC, you know?
No, Royal has a whole extra 3 months of the game. And there are several comfort of life improvements, such as you don't constantly get Morgana telling you you should go to bed.
All right, okay. Well, that's fair enough, but I only have
Persona 5. It's got extra characters in it.
Yeah. All right, okay. It's a very stylized game, isn't it? I don't like the way when you level up, he starts running and it goes into a cutscene. Oh,
at the end of every fight. I'll tell you what, like that drove me mad, that did, by the end of it.
I'd say so, yeah.
I had over 100 hours on it.
But the good thing about it is you can send a text to auto roll, like, you know, so only certain, you know, when they're chatting to you, you just let it roll automatically, so you don't have to keep pressing.
Have to read it.
But I read it all right, but so I'm not very far into the game. I have my 4 protagonists now. I have 4 protagonists, so I don't have many.
That's
more
you. That's you. That's yourself. That's Morgana, Ryuji, and Arn.
Yeah. And there's also I got an additional fighting option too. You know, you can talk to the monsters.
Okay.
Get them to give you money and stuff like that. So that's fun. The only thing I didn't like was Igor's voice changed. You'd swear I was Persona enthusiast, but I'm not. But because of, you know, Justin's continuous convincing me to play Persona 4 all them years, like 10 years now, I'd say, and I managed to play it, I got used to Igor's voice, and now he's totally different.
Welcome to the Belgium. And now it's,
now it's more welcome. It's totally the opposite. So anyway, but other than that...
That'll be explained later.
Okay, well, other than that, yes, it looks very nice on the PS5. And the last game I've been playing is Cat Quest 2. I've been managed to
stream
it a couple of times. I did get the plat on the PS4 version of Cat Quest 1, only to realise I also had it on PS5, Cat Quest 2. But anyway, it's harmless fun, you know, hack and slash with cats and dogs. It should be called Cat Quest 2. It's co-op, I think. You can play it as two players.
You can play it as two players, yeah.
And, yeah, lots of puns in there. Perfect and all that stuff. Anyway, so that's it. That's all I've been playing, and I shall keep you posted on my Metal Gear Solid 4 update, I suppose.
And how long it takes you to get bored with it.
Yeah. Okay. Any Twitter comments this week, Justin? No
Twitter comments this week. Just responses to the question of the fortnight, which was suggested by Colm. And I suppose we should probably give our answers, our thoughts on the question before we read the listeners. But you put forward, Colm and Justin are recording on Sunday and would like your thoughts on this hit topic. Well, I probably said hot topic. No, I probably meant to say hot. Anyway. With Game announcing recently that they are not taking in any more trade-ins, do you feel physical media will be dead and gone by the next generation? Do you still buy physical games? So, Colm, answer me the questions.
I like the option of having physical games, but with this current generation, and of course Steam hasn't brought a physical game out in about 15 years possibly, apart from the odd one or two that probably go on special order or whatever. I think what pisses me off now is this whole debacle that's going on at the moment about, do you actually own your digital games? And
yeah,
in one way it doesn't really matter, because you know, you may have a DVD collection of 2,000 DVDs or whatever. Do you actually end up watching them over and over again? Possibly not. Yeah. Possibly not, for the, you know, for the exception of maybe Lord of the Rings or one of them movies that you may, you know, love to death. But
yeah,
I also feel that for the preservation of games, and having a physical media gives you some money back, I suppose you would call it, in regard to when you want to trade in your old console. But even them days are gone now, because the only one left in the country that takes any trade-ins in this country is CEX. Smiths sell consoles, but they do not take trade-ins. Argos is gone. GameStop is gone. And I only realised that the other day, Game is in England still, but they're in the back of certain stores, aren't they?
They're in Sports Direct stores, mostly. Yeah.
And, yeah, so the fact they're not taking any back trade-ins back anymore just means CEX is the only option for a lot of people. And it's just a sign of the times, isn't it, really? I mean, the only thing that's ever come back into fashion again, you know, from what I can remember, is vinyl has made a comeback. But other than that, you know, it's whatever the physical media is at the time is the trendy thing. And vinyl just seems to be trendy, so I don't know.
For me, I think it's going to be gone. I think the next iteration will come out without much by the way of physical. I think manufacturers are probably going to go, well, we've got nowhere to sell the games, so
yeah,
it's only going to be on the digitals. The fact that Switch, you know, a fair chunk of games you would buy in Switch are just code in a box. So,
yeah,
you're just going to the high street to buy something you could buy on Nintendo Online anyway.
Well, apart from their first party and the big AAA games, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
But, I mean, most of the smaller games would be, even the Lego Star Wars, I think you can get that as code in the box. A lot of the Assassin's Creed games for Black Flag, I think, and you know, they bunged them two games in together. One of them was only on the cartridge, the other was a download. So, you know, so, yeah. I'd say... Yeah, and as you said yourself, if there's no stores to display the games on, they won't, you know, that's the way it's going to be. Like,
I think Sony tried to send the market this way when they released that PSP that was digital only.
PSP Go, yeah.
And they went, oh yeah, but you can download games onto your PS3 and then transfer them.
Yeah.
But it's like, but if you haven't got the connection, then you're not doing that in the first place. But I do think that they're going to say, well, everything's downloadable these days. Anything that does have physical can also be downloaded. PCs haven't done physical for a long time.
Yeah.
Because everything is digital. I mean, God, if you buy a laptop now, it doesn't even have a CD or DVD drive in it.
No.
So
you have to back it up first. That's the first thing you do with a laptop, is back it up, man. Because you don't have a key code on that thing. You can find it in the BIOS, I think. Or they used to have it on the back of the laptop where you'd have the activation key, but that's not even the case anymore now. So as soon as I buy a laptop, I just back it up straight away. So,
but how do you back it up? You've got no DVD writer.
No, USB. You just do it on a USB. It's easy enough.
Yeah. But I think the main people that are so vocal about buying physical are probably only buying a couple of games a year. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are collectors out there that, you know, go out to seek the pristine sealed copies of everything.
Yeah.
And if you've got so much money you can afford to do that, then fantastic. But I'm just going now, you know, having moved my own house here, having moved Ruth in recently, you become aware of how much space these things take.
Yeah.
And you're saying about DVDs, you know, DVDs, Blu-rays even, most of them, you buy them because they're a set or because they're something you want to watch. And yeah, again, there are people who are fans of a particular genre that will watch these things, but most of the time you'll watch them once, maybe twice, but usually watch them once and then they'll just sit there and never get watched again.
Yeah.
Because when you've got so much streaming at your fingertips, it's an effort to actually get up and change the disc over. You know, I turned on the PS5 the other day and I ejected the disc out of it and found the disc that was in it was Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection, which I probably haven't played for about 4 months.
Yeah.
Which just proves everything I'm playing, I'm downloading.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so convenient too. And I think with the sales, PlayStation sales, and then you've got Game Pass, you know, your subscription service there, you can have all the games you want to ever play. It's just the way it's gone now. But, you know, it's just that in the future, I think going forward, as you said, there's probably just going to be it's just going to be in the cloud. You're just going to connect to your TV and play the games on that or whatever.
Yeah.
There won't be consoles.
You know. Well, Amazon Luna is the latest one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You turn on your Amazon TV and it's going, oh, do you want to play this game? No, I don't. So, we have some listener comments. Dave at Yellowberg 1969 says, I definitely think we are nearing the end of physical games. In fact, I think we are nearing the end of physical hardware. It won't be the next gen, but I think Microsoft and Sony will eventually move to an app/cloud-based system with games linked to a digital-only account. I've also not bought physical games for a few years now. I just don't have the space, so I'm fully digital anyway. A lot of physical games are just a key to unlock the digital download now. Which, yeah, that, yeah. I mean, that echoes what I've said. For Ruth, she's got an Xbox Series S and a digital PS5. So she's fully digital on stuff. And even the laptop I bought, you know, like I said, no disc drive.
Yeah.
So anything she's going to play, unless she goes out of her way to play it on the other console, is going to be digital.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's just... just convenience, really, isn't it? It's just, I know a lot of these people on YouTube saying, you know, for the preservation of the games, but really, you know, if you're a game collector and you're looking for a sealed copy of a game, you're never going to open that game. So you're just looking for it for the buzz of getting it. Like when I was collecting my Vita games, there was several of them that wasn't sealed and, you know, I didn't play them. So, yeah, physical is definitely... Even my own son, he doesn't watch terrestrial TV anymore. He just watches YouTube and streams stuff, you know. He just doesn't buy physical either. And, you know, because the games are so big now, massive in size, you know, it's a very small percentage of the game that's on the DVD anyway, or the Blu-ray at this stage, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
And you're going to get a day one patch, which would already be involved if they... if they had a digital file.
Yeah, well, sure, they were even doing that in the PS3 anyway. You got patches for the games that you put on disc anyway. So, you know, a lot of people were saying that if the PlayStation 3 store ever closes, just download it. You know, if you have DVDs, make sure you patch them before you play them. But, I mean, yeah, whatever. I think this is the headache for the big boys now. It's... because it's all digital now, they're under pressure to keep the service running, because in theory, the PlayStation 3 store should not be still open at this stage. You know what I mean? When you give...
yeah, it's two generations old.
The PS3 came out when the Wii came out, or thereabouts.
Yeah, and the Nintendo's Wii... just turned off the Wii U.
So. Yeah, and the Nintendo's turned off the Wii U, the 3DS, the Wii, the DS. All of them services are gone now. Now, in fairness, what it's done for that is it's upped the price of the 3DS to crazy prices now. It's like $250 for a 3DS, brand new, new 3DS, you know, pristine condition. They're selling them at CEX for $250 because everybody's hacking the feck out of them now, you know.
Mm.
So the Wii's are still dirt cheap, but that's because they made some millions and millions of them fucking things. But yeah,
everyone had one.
But and as you said yourself, like, preservation of games is a wonderful thought and all that, but I don't wake up in the morning going, oh god, I want to play a PlayStation 1 game. As I said before, the furthest I go back is PlayStation 3. I will not go back any further because it's not enjoyable. It's, you know, so yeah. Darren Ragnar at Justin_Knowles. I think the next gen will still have physical games, but it may be the last. I'll buy whichever is cheapest. If both are the same / similar price, I will take physical, as it A, has a resale value, and B, can be used after the digital platform has been retired. Nintendo may keep cartridges for an extra generation than Microsoft and Sony. But then you've got to shipping the games, the price of the actual cartridge, you know, all that manufacturing, all that stuff goes out the window when you have digital, so, yeah. And then, you know, preservation of the planet and all this malarkey, you know. I won't say malarkey, but you know what I mean.
Bortang, Red Cross. @Bortang says... other than Nintendo, I'd say that's the case. The PC/laptops haven't seen a disc drive in a decade, purchased maybe 3 physical games last year, and the rest either digital or free/borrowed as part of a membership to Game Pass and Plus. You know, like what you have, Colin.
Yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, you have Epic giving away free games every fucking week.
Yeah.
And I've looked on a few sites and everybody's going, yeah, I get the games, but I never played them. So, yeah. Paul W. at @just_wondering_. I think physical media will be phased out in the next 10 years due to the size of the games and download sizes likely to get bigger. By the time of PS7, it will be all digital, streaming being a very important part of that for that generation. Yeah, I think once the internet is, you know, smashing all around third world countries,
yeah,
then, you know, it's not a problem, but still it's still a problem for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, you got Starlink and things like that, so you got satellites all over the world now that can broadcast to wherever they need to be. Tim Paulin, aka Captain Bacon, at Tim Paulin, says, I still buy physical PlayStation exclusives to share with my kids, and they look good on the shelf. Totally digital on Xbox, and that's the system I travel with. Everything would be digital already if it wasn't for the North America lack of high-speed internet in rural areas.
They still have caps on their internet, some places, yeah. I think.
Well, yeah, they suffer from throttling, but it's also the fact that, you know, in the big cities, you've got access to good internet. And as he says, if you're in the wilderness, you don't.
Yeah, but remember, we used to have caps on our internet where you can only download 2 gigs of over a month or something like that, and you get charged extra 2 days. I mean,
I remember those being a thing, but I never had that.
Mm.
I think I did when I had Sky Broadband, which is why I got rid of it.
Okay, thank you very much, Justin. Thank you. Some podcast mentions. Hear Us Out, Game Boars, 60 Minutes with Film Guff, Lapse Gamer Radio, Seal Podcast, and Pure Dead Gaming. I think that's it, Justin.
That will be.
Do you have anything to add before we go?
Only that I will look forward to one more recording and then hopefully coming to see you.
I shall meet you at the airport.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I shall look forward to it too. So, Justin, where can people find you?
They'll find me on Twitter, X, if you will, at Onya6. The show is at Last Save Loaded. And, yeah. You can email the show as well, lastoverloaded@gmail.com. Colin, what about you?
You can find me at X as well, at MultiPlatman. And you can find me at twitch.tv/Solemn67. Well, that's another one in the bag, Justin. Say goodnight.
Good night, Justin.
Good night, Justin.
Start now.
That's it.
I thought I'd done something wrong. I hate Skype.
I hate everybody.
Skype did its thing. It's like, near enough every time you turn it on, it goes, oh, download the latest update. And thanks to having SSDs, yeah, it just goes zing and it flies across. And I think, yeah, this is fantastic. Only this time, yep. It went, ah, you've been signed out.
Oh yeah, I hate that one.
Okay. And then it goes, sign in with your Hotmail account. Okay, if you say so. Cool. You have one contact on this account. Well, that's not right. Sign out. And he goes, would you like to just display yourself as offline? No, I want to sign out. And then it comes up saying, sign in. Click sign in. It goes, signing in with your Hotmail. And I'm like, no. I want to sign in with my Skype name. So yeah, it took me 3 attempts to then get into that, and then I had to take some attempts to remember the password. But anyway, I'm logged in.
Yeah, thankfully. Good, you're here.
Otherwise I'd be going, Google Chat, I don't know, what else can I do?
Oh, good, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, Skype is the only time I use Skype is when I'm talking to you. So, yes, yeah.
And me too.
And yeah, and to everybody else probably as well that does a podcast maybe. Who knows? How are things? Oh, let's get started, I suppose.
Yeah,
we could clap us down and I'll do the biz. Two, one. Good evening, good morning, good day. What any time, whatever. Ah, feck you.